sit down. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my mouth, on my lips, and in my heart. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God may be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in a pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is." But others said, "No, it just looks like him." And he said, "I am." And so they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. And so they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" And his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. He is of age, ask him. He can speak for himself." And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." And so a second time they called a man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." And he replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." And so they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" And they ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, would he be able to do anything?" And they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' and so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. So I ask you, how many blind people are in this gospel story? Many. Yes, there was one who was physically born blind, but in reality, everyone in the story is blind. The disciples walk right by him as if he was an object and use that object as a theology discussion. "Lord, is this person born with sin, or was it his parents? Was he a sinner or his parents?" Don't even acknowledge him, say hello, or anything. The neighbors don't even recognize him. Once he can see, they don't know whether it's really him or not. They only saw him as a beggar before that. The parents are an interesting story that we don't have time to go into, but they seem to be somewhere in between. They kind of know, but they're afraid to look deeper to see how he was really cured. And the Pharisees, of course, see Jesus as a sinner. And so everyone in this story is blind except one person. Of course, Jesus. Because when Jesus looks at this person born blind, he sees a person needing healing, needing God's grace. And he says that this man was not born in sin, but he is blind so that the works of God may be made visible through him. In other words, Jesus is going to minister to him. Jesus is going to show him his love and mercy, and the power of Jesus, of course, is going to physically heal him. And so, we're going to see God's power, God's love, God's glory. We can do the same. Every person we see becomes not an object, someone we can scorn or look down on, but an opportunity to show the works of God as we serve them, love them, even say hi and God bless you. And so this story has a lot to teach us. But theologically, it's also about us. This blind man represents all of us. And we are born into the world, all of us, blind. We call it theologically original sin. But when we are born into the world due to the history of the world's sin, we are out of touch. We do not see the world as God sees the world. We see the world selfishly, from our own point of view. We don't see as God wants us to see. It's a blindness. And so we are baptized. We receive God's grace in our life, which changes our eyesight, so we now recognize good, evil, God's way, the world's way, and we can distinguish between the two. And so we look at our lives or lives around us, and we see sin or no sin. And we are troubled sometimes by our sins, but that in a way is a good thing, because that means we have eyesight. And so we are called to repent from our sins and adjust our lives accordingly. And we can look out in the world and see good and evil if God has given us that sight. And so this is a process that we're called to go through. Sometimes it happens instantaneously. Sometimes it happens after a long period. There's a famous story, conversion story, that I'm reminded of. John Newton. He's the one who wrote the lyrics for Amazing Grace. And you know the famous line, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. His story is extraordinary. He was lost his mother at a young age. He was enlisted by his father into the British Navy at age 11, became a sailor, lived a very difficult life, lots of hardships. He was even put into slavery for a while, and then when released, became a slave trader himself. And one day while at sea, a great storm came, and he was certain he was going to die, and he prayed, and he believes that a miracle God worked got him through that storm. And so he began to start to read the Bible and pray. And over a period of time, he started to see his life very differently. And he saw the people he was buying and selling as human beings, not cattle, if you will, to be sold. And he converted and became an abolitionist, worked for the freedom of the slaves. He went on to become an Anglican priest. And he penned these words and many others. Another famous conversion story is St. Francis of Assisi, who says, I used to despise lepers. Whenever he saw a leper, he would run. But through a long period of prayer, he started to challenge his sinful attitude to despise another human being. And he saw them in a different way. Instead of a person who was disfigured, he saw Christ incarnate and a suffering Christ that gave him an opportunity by serving the leper to serve Christ, by relieving some of the sufferings of the leper to comfort Christ in his sufferings. And so his eyesight was changed. I know in my life, I've gone, had a big change. I know that I was very much of the world after career and having a lot of fun. God was far from my life. But over a long process, someone taught me how to pray. Reading the Gospels helped me see the world through those gospel lenses. And then on a six-month leave of absence from work, I began to view my life very differently. And I recognized that most of what I spent my time on had little to do with what's really important in life. And what I spent the least amount of time on, the little bit I was involved in church, was the most meaningful and important. And so by the grace of God, I too changed. But it wasn't until someone invited me on a retreat, and I had a powerful experience that allowed me to see differently. How about you? What in your life do you see differently now with God's grace? And how has it happened? Has it been an event, an occurrence that God put in your life that you eventually got through, like that storm for John Newton, calling upon him and it changed your life? Do we make the effort to allow God to change our eyesight? It's a miracle, but it's not a miracle that happens in a vacuum. We must make room for the miracle. We must read the Gospels regularly, try to see the world as Christ sees the world. We must pray. We must go receive the sacraments, going on retreats, reading books, discussing our faith with others. Essential parts of the journey, like the saliva God put on the eyes, it comes through human means, God's healing grace. And so we are challenged to make that time in our life to allow God to change our sight. Ultimately, this entire gospel is a trial. You can see it. Someone's accused of a crime, Jesus, of breaking the Sabbath. So the Pharisees, like the judges, put Jesus on trial. They call witnesses. The witnesses testify. And all the time it seems like Jesus is the one on trial, but we see at the end, each person was the one on trial. Jesus says, I am judgment. That's a harsh line. We don't like to hear Jesus is come to judge the world. But judgment is misunderstood. Judgment is not something God does to us after we die. Judgment is what we do with our lives while we are still alive. Christ is the light of the world. He's come in and revealed God is present. God is born into our world. This same trial is happening today in our world. Christ was born. He lived. He taught. He died. He rose and is still with us. Yet the world talks about it like it's something, it's optional. Your opinion versus my opinion. Oh, did it really happen? The world today is largely blind. Look at our politics. Look at our morality. Look at our way we handle environment or treat other people, be they the homeless or the immigrants. Our divisions couldn't happen if we were all seeing correctly. Many of us, including Christians, are still blind. I'm not going to say who, but we must take that attitude that it could be us, and we must work harder to read those scriptures, know and understand our faith, debate about the justice issues and the things in our happening in our society, and pray about them and ask for God to open our eyes. Because until we can look at every single person on this planet that God has created and loved and died for and see them not as a problem, not as someone who doesn't have rights, but to see them as an opportunity to show the works of God as we serve them, as we help heal them, as we bring them back and reconcile them into the human community. Until we see everyone like that, we too are blind.